the conversation forward. Please pledge your financial support to KPFK right now, if you can, by going to kpfk.org/donate. Or you can dial 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Easy to remember. And we thank you for being part of the family.
Hello, and you are listening to Eco Justice Radio on KPFK Los Angeles, a project of SoCal 350 Climate Action. Our show presents environmental and climate stories from a social justice frame, featuring voices not necessarily heard on mainstream media. Welcome, I'm Jack Eyte. On today's show, Water Stories, the untapped way to heal the planet. Host Carrie Kim will be interviewing Zach Weiss, water cycle restoration practitioner and founder of Water Stories, dedicated to reviving watersheds and ecosystems. Zach Weiss has implemented decentralized water retention systems in more than 25 different countries on six continents, spanning different climates, contexts, landforms, and ecosystems. After more than a decade of experience, Zach created waterstories.com to present these approaches and solutions to people around the world. We want to note, this is a special fundraiser show for KPFK. We hope that you will consider contributing to keep educational shows like this one on the air 24 hours a day. Please call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org to make your donation. We appreciate your collaboration to help keep us on the air.
Aloha, this is Carrie Kim. Listeners, today we are grateful to welcome Zach Weiss, passionate and inspired founder of Water Stories, a learning, training, and action platform focused entirely on water cycle restoration. A globally renowned water cycle practitioner, Zach continues to inspire thousands of people around the globe to restore the health of watersheds and ecosystems while ensuring water security and true wealth in their own communities. Water is the prime mover of life, and we each bear responsibility to it for its continuance in order to heal ourselves and our living relatives on the planet. Decentralized water retention is both quietly and radically transforming desertified, urbanized, and degraded landscapes globally. We don't hear much about it, but it is happening in many communities around the world. Indigenous peoples have traditionally regarded water as sacred, safeguarding it as the precious inheritance of life. We would do well to remember our ancestral, original connections to water and how, if we respect and protect it, we can collectively change the world. We would like to honor the Tongva ancestors, for our show comes to you from the ancestral homelands of the Tongva, and we invite you to align with and support the Indigenous peoples wherever you live. Welcome, Zach.
Oh, thanks so much. It's nice to be here with you.
I'm wondering if you could speak about how and when you knew that your life's work would be with water.
Very interesting question. You know, water is this thing that it is so easy to take for granted. And like the fish in the fishbowl, we don't really oftentimes understand how important it is, how valuable it is, how sacred it is. And so for me, it was very much an afterthought, just like anybody else, where I wasn't really focused on water. I was focused on nature, on our co-living beings, the non-human organisms that we share this planet with, and how to create good habitat for them, how to create spaces where humans can live in a better relationship with all of those non-human beings and with their landscapes. And it just kept pointing back and back again to water. And through my work with Sepp, he was always working on the water household, as he'd call it, of a landscape. And he says, when the water household is in accordance, 70% of the work is done. And mm-hmm. I just started to see time and time again that when people work for water, mm-hmm. all of the impacts affect the whole web of life. And so we can try and impact each one of these little legs on the overall network, mm-hmm. and we can get some results, but not very much. But when we work for water, it gives to all of those organisms, mm-hmm. all of that ecosystem, the whole system. And so really just through seeing its effectiveness, I really learned water was my life's path and a thing to really focus on.
Well, you know, Rajendra Singh, the great water man of India, is one of your esteemed mentors. And he says, if you do something for water, water gives everything to us, kind of is what you've said. But what does working for water actually mean to you now? How are you working for water?
The first big piece is understanding, observation and participation, to understand how our landscapes are receiving or rejecting water, mm-hmm. how that may be different from what those landscapes were like previously, and then how to work for the betterment of all, a better common future in that relation to water. So a really simple way to understand it is to just try and allow the water to remain on that landscape for longer, especially in dry places like where you're coming in from. It's not so much about how much water we receive, but how many times we use it before it leaves. Mm. Water can be used once in our industrial applications or many times by many organisms cycling through an ecosystem. A healthy ecosystem like the Amazon, a water droplet goes down into the ground, through the plants, back into the atmosphere, and down again 7 times before it moves mm-hmm. downstream in the river. Mm-hmm. And so we are really trying to help this process so that water can benefit more parts of the landscape, more organisms within that landscape, and stay around for longer.
You know, for some reason, this question just popped in my head while you were speaking, and it's, I wonder if you could share about apprenticing with the infamous Sepp Holzer, who is known as the rebel farmer from Austria, and he was your mentor for a long time. And right, like he would say that his greatest teacher is nature, right? That everything that he learned was pretty much from being out there, just like a Taoist, you know, or animist, or anyone just living in that way, which is our original way. I wonder.
And it was.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it's interesting you bring that up because I didn't discover the Tao till, I don't know, maybe 5 years into working with Sepp, 10 years into working with Sepp. And I said, Sepp is a Taoist master. This is exactly what I'm experiencing every day when I'm with him. The, you know, the paradox, just all of it, the way that he moves through the world, it really gave me so much more context to the way that Sepp exists when I started reading the Tao.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I love that. I think that that is our original way though, right? And it is the ineffable. It's like not through language. It's from observation and feeling and intuition and all these other ways of communication.
Exactly.
I wonder if you could speak then about the evolution of water stories. What catalyzed its creation? How did you go about putting this out in the world?
You know, the biggest thing was actually, again, going back to Sepp. You know, I was working all around the world doing projects and very proud of what I was doing. And I would always bring my projects to Sepp and show him. And he said at one point, he said some very kind things to me. But then, you know, good mentors will always push you for a little more. And then he said, he followed that up immediately by saying, but one of you is not enough. One of you is nothing. We need hundreds or thousands, millions would be better. And that was the beginning of some awakening within myself to understand, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a very practical, pragmatic, I like to do stuff with my own two hands. I really started to realize I could work myself into an early grave and have no meaningful impact on this planet compared to what's needed. And how I really needed to train up local people to be able to do this in their own regions, that understand the culture, that understand the language, all of these different things. It, you know, it makes so much more sense for people to bring this to their own community rather than me as an outsider to bring it to their community. And so how do I train up locals in that process? That morphed into what is now Water Stories.
And what is the ultimate aim of Water Stories, would you say, at this point? Just to send the education and the wisdom out to empower others to continue as like a cycle?
Yeah, I would say global water cycle restoration is our humble aim. But how do we get there is by making hundreds and then thousands of both model projects and practitioners. Mm-hmm. So model projects in the sense of people can go there and experience these landscapes. When you mm-hmm. go to Sepp's farm, it's just right. obvious that yes. anyone would be happy living this way. When you mm-hmm. go to these projects we just visited in India, it's just right. obvious the impacts that water has on the quality of life of people living there. So in one sense, we need more green dots on the map, on the globe, right. that mm-hmm. then people can go to fully understand by experiencing for themselves. And then we need a lot of trained people that can help people make these transformations on their own landscape to right. create more model demonstration projects.
Mm-hmm. And then in the process, the people become sovereign themselves and empowered themselves. And then they do more, just like what we had been witnessing in Rajasthan. They were empowered and they were doing their own projects, you know, was catalyzing all these other elements.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Why Water Stories? Would you say that many in the West have forgotten our origin stories around water? I mean, how to help people actually cultivate this connection or restore this connection to an understanding of water? I mean, stories are the key, right, to moving from extraction to relationship again. I think you've kind of commented, but if there's more that you'd like to share on this notion of
I think in many ways our Western understanding of the world, we threw out all knowledge to try and learn it again. Yeah. And there were all these stories and relationships, and every traditional ecological knowledge is available to all of us from every part of this earth. We all have a part of that story, and if we dig for it, we can find it. And in many ways, Western science, I think, has sought to learn, it's so reductionistic that we're learning more and more about less and less until we know absolutely everything about nothing at all. And in losing the whole, we've narrowed in so specifically that what we're learning isn't really valid in the whole anymore. Right. And I think this is where we really need to change our perspective and way of looking at the world.
Mm-hmm. It's much more fragmented, right? It's just like that very specialized. And like you said, but you can't see the whole. It's that proverbial, whatever, touching the elephant, but you're missing the whole elephant. You're just touching the leg, you know?
Exactly.
Thinking it's the whole. Thinking it's the whole, but you're quite far off. This is basic, but I think also a fundamental question, because we can't assume that everybody knows this language or the terminology, but what is a watershed?
A watershed is an area that is feeding water collectively to one basin. So you imagine a mountain on the watershed is going to be defined by the ridges of that mountain. On one side, the water is going to feed in a certain direction. On the other side, the water is going to feed in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And so we can define watersheds at various points throughout the landscape. Micro watersheds all the way to macro watersheds. And then one thing we really need to start understanding is the watershed's not just what's on the ground, but also what's in the air. The rivers are the veins, but the atmospheric rivers are the arteries. Mm. And so we're not only connected based on our watersheds on the land, but also the aerial watersheds, where our moisture is coming from and what kind of conditions we're going to receive from others.
That is amazing. That is an amazing concept. It's really, my mind was like going, boop. Zach, we're going to take a break right here. Listeners, we will be back in a moment to speak again with Zach Weiss, founder of Water Stories, and we're going to speak about water retention landscapes. Back with you in a minute.
Hey, listeners, quick break here. We hope that you are enjoying EcoJustice Radio on KPFK Los Angeles. Before we jump back into the show, we want to remind you that KPFK is in Fund Drive. You rely on public radio for independent music, trustworthy news, and authentic culture. Consider what KPFK means to you and put a value on it today. Now more than ever, we're relying on you to keep KPFK free and thriving in Southern California. Become a member today or renew your membership now at kpfk.org/donate or call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. 5735. This station takes you behind the headlines and gives you vivid stories of real people that put the news in context. Journalism as storytelling is painstaking, laborious work, and it's not cheap. It costs tens of thousands of dollars to make 1 hour of a radio like this one. And if you like this kind of offering, the way we pay for it here on KPFK is the fairest, most democratic system in the world. Those listeners who like these stories each pitch in a little money. So please do your part. Call us now, 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Or go to kpfk.org and pledge securely online. Public radio is an important part of your life. Maybe you grew up with enlightened parents informing the whole family on car vacations. Or maybe you just discovered it in the last years in your search for something that gets beyond the mainstream news and music that we are all inundated with. Become a member today or renew your membership now at kpfk.org/donate or call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. You are the center of making this vital service possible. When you support our local station, public radio stations like KPFK exist to serve your community with music and news that enriches your life. Because listeners like you stepped up in the past to make it possible. Keep public radio strong here in our state by donating to KPFK right now by becoming a member today. Or renew your membership now, kpfk.org/donate, or call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. Public radio stations in Southern California, like KPFK, help keep you informed, bring you new perspectives, and inspire you to explore this rich and diverse state. KPFK needs you. We need you. Go to kpfk.org and make your contribution, or please call 818-985-5735 or kpfk.org. Give now to keep KPFK going strong. Thank you for tuning in to Eco Justice Radio. Today you're listening to Water Stories, the untapped way to heal the planet, with host Kerry Kim and guest Zach Weiss, water cycle restoration practitioner and founder of Water Stories, dedicated to reviving watersheds and ecosystems.
Listeners, we are back with Zach Weiss, founder of Water Stories, and we would love to hear the story of a water retention landscape.
A water retention landscape is a land that either in its original state that's still healthy in that state, or that's maybe been helped and facilitated to receive the rains that that landscape gets. The rainfall is this incredible gift, but what happens when that rain drop meets the soil, very important to the reality we experience, is that sent downstream with hardened hot soil, with concrete, with hardscapes, creating a flood and then also creating a drought? Or is it received in that landscape where it's running? Is it encouraged to walk? Where it's walking, is it encouraged to crawl? Where it's crawling, is it encouraged to enter into the womb of the earth? And with this, you get this recharge of groundwater. You get water tables rising instead of falling, and you get springs and creeks reforming, flowing with water into the rivers and waterways, making those rivers healthy and flowing perennially once again.
You know, I wanted to ask if you could back up to that phrase and if you could slow it down so that people could really, they could actually percolate it down, what you're saying about the water running, walking, crawling, womb of the earth, like just so they can feel it. And actually, because this is so important, and even if they don't have the visual and haven't been in a site where this has happened, they can gather something from that. If you could just tell that again.
Yeah. And the easiest way to learn all of this is go outside in a rainstorm. The water will teach you exactly all of these things. And so what you're looking to do is find the areas where water is running, where it's moving very fast, and encourage it to walk, to slow down. Where water is moving more slowly, encourage it to crawl, to really slow down. And where water is crawling, give it an opportunity to rest and enter into the womb of the earth. And if we can move water in this direction, slowing it down, allowing more of it to enter into the earth, that is what makes a healthy, balanced, the full or healthy water cycle, as we call it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you could give some examples of how you would take the water from running to walking to crawling to the womb of the earth. You know, some examples of how you would actually do that and implement such a thing that would allow that to happen.
Yeah. So it's really taking into account where water is moving already. And then we might have various different types of interventions that will help us move along this trajectory. So one would be an earthen water body, where water is concentrated and gathering, creating an earthen dam just with the natural materials we have available to allow that water to slow down, have pause, rest, and enter into the ground. Mm-hmm. That's the larger features that we might build higher up in the catchment. In other areas, this might be as simple as a check dam, a little rock wall, a beaver dam analog, some feature like this, that where water is flowing faster, maybe it's running or it's walking, we can again give it pause, allow that water level to come up, allow more of that water to infiltrate into the banks of that waterway, so that then when it goes dry, there's this big saturated sponge to slowly leak back into that waterway. And that's what creates the more perennial flow. Mm. In other areas, this might be taking water where it is traveling very quickly off of a property in a drain or something of this nature, and giving it a longer path on that property. So weaving it back and forth with terracing, for example, where maybe water travels 100 meters straight out the property, but we can make it travel 1,000 meters back and forth across that place so it can really sink into the land and rehydrate that landscape.
Mm-hmm. I think what you said, that counsel of going out in the rainstorm and also just working with the water. I mean, I remember once this friend had asked me to just dig a diversion ditch because I was having all this flooding happening in my front. And so I did that, and he just had me, you watch it where it's going. And then, like you say, the water will find the lowest levels. You know, Zach, we are here at time, and we could go on and on. This is such an important, water is the great work of our time. And I wonder if you could share some of the links of how listeners can connect with you, because we know you have so many films and videos and trainings and the way you're building community, and it's all around water restoration. It's amazing. So grateful for the work that you are doing and how you have taken up this mantle for yourself of working with water and also spreading the teachings also of your mentors, of Seb, of Rajendra. And if you could share those links where people can reach you.
Definitely. So waterstories.com is the best place to go to find all the different streams. We have films, animations, videos, all sorts of stuff on waterstories.com itself. A lot of that is on our YouTube channel as well, or a good portion of it. We have a community that you can also find via waterstories.com. This is more than 7,000 people now from more than 200 countries, all dedicated to water cycle restoration in their region. So this is a great way to connect with others interested in these types of efforts, to learn more, to get involved in your local community. And then we also run training programs. We're about to launch into the next one for this year. It'll start at the end of March. And this is a training to become a water cycle restoration practitioner, whether as a professional, a steward on your own project, or an advocate in your region. Mm-hmm. So that people can also find on waterstories.com. And we've created so much content. If this is interesting, you can get great visual examples of these projects, animations on all of the science behind this and why it makes sense. And there's so much available to you right now. If you just log in online, all for free, we really encourage people to take advantage of that library that we've created.
Zach, we thank you so much. And listeners, please act upon this. If you care about water, be a part, start playing your part, do whatever you can, go out in the rainstorm, start learning, you know, being with others, aligning with others. And we all have a role to play in the restoration of ourselves and this planet. And Zach, we thank you so much. You and Raleigh and Apollo and your mentors Rajendra Singh of Tarun Bharat Sangh and Sepp Holzer of the Holzerhof and Kremeter. I don't remember the original farm.
Kremeterhof.
And, you know, all the other mentors out there for others, the water elders of the world, we thank you and have courage. Act upon the laws of nature and follow that above all else, I would say.
I love that. Fear is our worst companion in life, and we really do need action and careful reflection. And one of my favorite quotes from Goethe is, knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like Yoda as well. Yeah, just do. Thank you so much, Zach. Check out waterstories.com, listeners, and engage yourself today.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course.
Hey, listeners, to check out the extended recording of this show or to explore our other shows, visit our website, ecojusticeradio.org, and subscribe to our podcast. Thank you to our guest, Zach Weiss, and thank you to our listeners for joining us. This has been Water Stories, the untapped way to heal the planet. To conclude the show today, we want to reach out to all of you one more time to consider supporting KPFK with a financial donation. We know times are tough, and you might need to rethink what you can afford to give your favorite nonprofit organizations. That's why we are so appreciative of all contributions. It's a testament to how important KPFK is to you, our listener sponsors, that you voluntarily invest in this station. So if you can afford to support KPFK, we thank you because you're helping to provide this essential community service to everyone in our region. Please make your investment KPFK right now, 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Or go to kpfk.org. Pledge securely online. Community support is critical for KPFK. Unlike a lot of our public radio counterparts, 100% of our programming and production budget comes from you, our listeners. Any contribution is welcome and appreciated. Call us at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Or go to kpfk.org and pledge securely online. Let's celebrate our freedom to have community radio, freedom to hear fact-based journalism devoid of corporate spin, freedom to hear multiple sides of an issue, freedom to have locally produced news and music, freedom to support a local community resource. Even the freedom to not support this station, which is why we need voluntary support. Tell us that KPFK is a valuable community resource and that you appreciate alternatives to the mainstream media. When we say this is listener-supported radio, well, it means it's your money that pays for these programs. And not only the programs, but the transmitters, the computers, the electricity, everything that it takes to bring you these programs. So here's a very large thank you to you. Your contribution to KPFK could be one of the easiest things you'll do all day. Grab your phone and call 818-985-5735. In about 3 minutes, you'll have done your part. Or join online. Click the Donate Now button, kpfk.org/donate, and you'll be on your way to membership. If you want to make things even easier, sign up as a sustaining member. Your monthly contribution of $5 or more will ensure your continuing support of KPFK. Supporting KPFK is easy and affordable. Call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. Or join online anytime at kpfk.org/donate. Thank you for listening to Eco Justice Radio. So, project of SoCal 350. The show can be found on KPFK Audio Archives, all major podcast apps, and at ecojusticeradio.org. Executive producer, myself, Jack Ike, co-host, Carrie Kim, and engineer and original music by Blake Quake Beats. And until next time, remember, the power is yours.
Think about this. What's your favorite program at KPFK? Have you shown your appreciation by making a financial contribution recently? If not, now is the perfect moment to make a real impact. KPFK's fund drive is coming to a close. You can visit kpfk.org/donate or give us a call at 818-985-5735 to show your support today. KPFK's need for your support has never been greater. Just as people nationwide have been facing particularly hard times, economic repercussions have also hit your local progressive radio station.